Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the About That podcast with me, your host, your favorite geek psychologist, your favorite pop culture enthusiast, your favorite queen of the nerds, Dr. Vanessa Hintz. And today, good people, I am excited to reinstitute the Con Rewind segment and to tell all of you beautiful folks about my first ever experience at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, Washington. So Emerald City Comic Con this year took place the last weekend of February, first weekend of March 2024, and I was fortunate enough to be a guest, be a panelist. I attended as a fan, and it was my first time not only in Seattle, but also at this specific convention. And so it was a good time, and I'm excited to share with you all the experiences I had there and also some things that definitely were sparked in my mind following these experiences, right? So y'all know me, y'all know it's about to get deep. So let's just get right into it. So for those of you who don't know, Emerald City Comic Con is put on by ReadPop. So ReadPop is the company behind C2E2 in Chicago, New York City Comic Con, and as I mentioned, Emerald City Comic Con as well. And so ReadPop has been around since 2006. And according to their website, quote, "We've always stayed true to our core beliefs of always putting our fans first, creating killer events, and being as transparent and authentic as possible," end quote. I will say C2E2 was actually my OG con. The first con that I ever attended was C2E2. I went to graduate school in Chicago. And so C2E2 and ReadPop have a very, very special place in my heart. Just because, again, my first exposure to this con world was at C2E2, and I absolutely love C2E2. It's a great time. At the time of this recording, I'm actually preparing for C2E2 2024, so that's dope. Nonetheless, ReadPop is not a company that I engage with often because, again, the events are spread out. I still, at the time of this recording, have not had the opportunity yet to attend New York City Comic Con. Part of that is the way my bank account's set up. You know, New York is an expensive trip to take, right? And the opportunity just hasn't necessarily presented itself. And so Emerald City, though, has been around since 2003. And according to the website, Emerald City Comic Con is, quote, "the premier comic book and pop culture convention in the Pacific Northwest." And let me tell y'all, it was the Pacific Northwest was Pacific Northwesting when I was there. So what you would typically believe to be the weather in Seattle, it was absolutely that. It rained the entire time. It was cold. I think I saw the sun like twice. I was there for like 5 days. I think I saw the sun twice. And so I actually wouldn't have it any other way. It was kind of dope because it was what you would expect. Everything I know about the Pacific Northwest, I can't remember if I'm gonna say this out loud, but I know from Twilight when I was in my Twilight phase. And they talked about being in the Pacific Northwest, and that's why them vampires live there. Like, that was what was in my mind. That was the vibe. And I feel like that was the vibe when I was there, right? Like, it was just very dreary, which is fine. Where I stayed, I could see the ocean from where I was. I didn't go there because it was cold, and I was not about to be walking anywhere by myself, unknown, right? It was cool, though. It was cool. It was a dope vibe. I think one piece of weirdness for me, so Emerald City Comic Con takes place at the Seattle Convention Center, and it was like in these two separate buildings. And so from what I heard from other folk, like that was the first time that this convention has been like in separate buildings within the convention center. And I mean, we had to walk like outside to get from one building to the other. And I know that sounds very much like first world problems. And I just wanted to be mindful of, like, you know, people with mobility issues. And again, we were like in the elements and all kinds of stuff, right? And so I will say my hamstrings and my calves got a good workout in throughout the entirety of Emerald City, because it definitely, you had to walk for 40 days and nights to get from one place to the other. But nonetheless, that convention center is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I was told that I think one of the spaces we were in was, quote, "the new part." And so that was super dope. But nonetheless, the first thing I want to share with you all about my experience at Emerald City was actually my panel experiences. And so if you all have listened to the inaugural episode of this podcast, you know a little bit about my story as a professional nerd, as a psychologist, as somebody with an advanced degree that talks about nerdy things. More often than not, when I go to conventions and when I'm in fan spaces and convention spaces, I'm talking about stuff. Because if you haven't already learned, I love to talk about stuff. I love to talk about stuff in community with other people, particularly in community with other people that love the same thing that I love, right? And so I was fortunate enough to have two panels accepted to Emerald City Comic Con. The first was actually part of what they refer to as Educators Day. And so this is actually, like, I think something that's super dope. Within the convention, within, you know, this fan space, educators, so K-12 educators have the opportunity to get what they call clock hours if they come to these panels, right? And so the panel that I proposed along with my brother from another, Victor Dandridge Jr., the hardest working man in comics, we proposed a panel focused on blackness in the Marvel universe. Really in the comic verse generally, but we really only got to talk about Marvel because we'd be talking too much and we didn't have enough time. Nonetheless, it was selected to be part of this Educators Day, and it was just so awesome, right? It was so awesome. Aside from the fact that the room was so hot, it felt like the seventh circle of hell. Other than that, it was super dope. The audience was engaged. Victor and myself together, we're like the Wonder Twins, we're like the dream team, we're just super dope when we talk about stuff. So much so that the organizers of this event actually said that it was a travesty, that we didn't have more time, right? And I agree. And so next time, hit us up, we'll come back, we'll do it again, better than ever, with more time. We'll do a whole half day, whole day workshop, whatever you need. But it was super dope. The second panel that I did at Emerald City Comic Con with two just phenomenal humans was focused on feminism. And we talked specifically about feminism as it relates to the Barbie movie and the reimagined Little Mermaid movie, both of which were released in 2023. You all have heard me talk, if you've listened to the episodes about the Little Mermaid, the reimagined Little Mermaid on this podcast, forthcoming will be an episode about the Barbie movie, so I'm not going to talk too much about the particulars of that conversation, but what I will say is, again, to Kayla, to Elena, you all are amazing, amazing humans, and I'm so thankful to have been able to share that stage with you, to have that conversation with you, a conversation that would not have gone the way that it did had we not been the collection of people that we are. That conversation in particular, one thing I just appreciate about fan spaces that is a little bit different than being like in academic spaces, right? Like in academic spaces, you know, academics and people who are just like smarty arties tend to like to what we call pontificate. So just talk about, like, I'm a pontificator. I just talk about stuff. Like I talk and talk and talk and talk, right? More often than not in academic spaces, in my experience, it becomes about like flexing that, right? Like who's smarter than who, or who's going to hit you with the gotcha moment, right? Like, and that may not be everybody's experience in academia or in, you know, academic spaces or more sort of quote professional spaces. It has been mine, which we can talk about ad nauseum as to why that is, but that's neither here nor there. That's a conversation for a different day. What I will say is different in fan spaces is that, again, we're not talking in a professional academic sense. We're talking about lived life and real experiences. So we, the trio of folks that were on the stage talking about feminism and talking about queerness and talking about Barbie and all these things, we are absolutely professionals and we absolutely know what we're talking about, right? We have an expertise and we are sharing that with people in a way that is collaborative and inclusive as opposed to like talking at. And for me, that is always important in not only fan spaces, but anytime I'm doing a presentation, right? Like even when I'm recording this podcast right now and all the other times, right? Like it's important for me to talk in a way that invites people in as opposed to reinforcing the barriers that divide us, right? And so I think that that is something that particularly at Emerald City and in that panel discussion around feminism and Barbie that we were very much able to cultivate and to achieve, the audience was giving. More often than not at the beginning of my panels, I let people know, like, this is not a lecture, this is a community conversation. And so you don't have to wait until the end to ask questions. You really don't even have to raise your hand. You know, we're in conversation. We are being with one another. And I think that that invitation, in addition to the way that we were sort of engaging with folks and sharing our knowledge about the things that we were talking about, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience. To the point that we were approached afterwards, and, you know, with gratitude and appreciation. And that was reciprocated, right? Like, I'm always so thankful for people who engage with me in panel spaces at conventions, because, you know, there's nothing worse than feeling like you don't know what the vibe is, right? I'm sitting, like, even now, like, recording this podcast, right? Like, I don't know what the vibe is when people listen to it. I know how I feel. And when I'm in a convention space, when I'm doing any type of public speaking, it is so important for me. Like, I'm like the vibe checker, right? Like, I want it to be a vibe. And so I will say, in terms of my panel experiences at Emerald City, with it being my first time at that convention, with it being, you know, their weirdness as to where the panel room was versus where everybody else was, you know, like, all this walking, like, all of that aside, the vibe was giving, right? Like, the engagement with folks in the space, my engagement with my fellow panelists, like, it was just all just chef's kiss. It was absolutely amazing. So thank you to Victor, thank you to Kayla, thank you to Elena. You all are amazing. Thank you for indulging me, and thank you for your partnership and collaboration in these panel experiences, right? Moving on, something else I very much appreciated about Emerald City and the way it was sort of scheduled for me personally is that it was equal parts me paneling and then me fangirling. And you all have heard me say, it is my life's mission, it is my 2024 intention to unexplicitly, unabashedly experience joy. And when I'm in these fan spaces, that's exactly what I do. So when I'm paneling, that's joyful, right? There's also an air of, like, work about it. And so that is a different type of joy. When I'm able to be in these fan spaces as a fan, listen to episode 2, me talking about my fan experience at the Supernatural Convention or the fan experiences I had at Fan Expo New Orleans. When I'm able to be a fan in these spaces, it is the way I rejuvenate, right? And I'm trying to stop using that language because I don't want to have to get to the point where I need to, like, refill my cup, right? Like, I'm trying to stop using that language. That's Trisha Hershey. Rest is resistance. I'm trying to deprogram myself in that language, right? Like, I don't want my cup to even almost be empty, right? That it needs to be refilled. I want to be able to experience joy just because, not because I need to replenish, but because it's my right to do so. And so that anytime I am going to a con or engaging in a fandom space, I want to be intentional about making space to just experience joy. And what that looked like for me at Emerald City was, again, I feel like every space I went into, it felt like the seventh circle of hell. Like, it was hot. Felt like Hades. Like, it was the most. Anyways, though, walking around that hot-ass artist alley at Emerald City Comic Con, knowing that I was on the lookout for something very specific to add to one of my many fandom shrines that I have in one of my offices, right? Like, that, to me, was amazing. Walking around and being able to talk to artists. I got a tattoo when I was at Emerald City Comic Con. It was just, like, those things give me life. Experiences, particular experiences that I would love to share with you all, though, revolve around my interaction and my own fangirling that happened at Emerald City Comic Con. The first being, for the second time in my life, I was blessed to be able to meet Chris Evans. The Chris Evans, aka Captain Steve Rogers, aka America's Ass. He was one of the premier guests at Emerald City, and I was fortunate enough to be able to meet him and take a picture with him. And I want to tell you all about this experience because I'm quite sure that during this experience, my soul was raptured, because there are parts of it that I feel like I was having an out-of-body experience. So photo op lines, especially for someone as A-list as Chris Evans, right, gonna be turned up. Like, we just stand in line, it's hot, like, whatever's going on, cool. And I actually, in standing in line, like, usually I'm much more chatty with folks, like, that are there, like, we're all so happy, you know. I was just in a mood, to be quite honest. Like, I don't know if it was the weather in Seattle that was making me feel some kind of way, or not sleeping well, whatever, but I was standing in line waiting to take this picture with Chris Evans. All these people around me so excited, and I was just like in my little, like, I was in my little bubble, like brooding almost, like, what am I doing? It was so weird for me, because typically, again, these fandom spaces are so joyful, like, it's hard to not feel that, right? I was absolutely in a mood, though. And so I remember I was, like, texting my mom and my sisters, and I was like, you know, like, I was just so upset. And for what? I don't even know. It was maybe just one of those days. But nonetheless, the line is moving pretty fast, right? Like, this is the first day that Chris Evans is there. And so it wasn't super, super turned up. It was turned up, but it wasn't that bad. And so once the line starts moving and you're like, oh, damn, we about to go behind the curtain, like, that's when nerves start, right? It's like, oh, my gosh, he's about to be, like, right there. And what I think was interesting about the way they set it up at Emerald City, so typically, in my experience, when you take a photo op with you know, whoever, the line is literally, like, right next to you. And so while you're standing here, like, fangirling or whatever, trying to pose, trying to take this picture, there's, like, a whole line of people. They changed that a little bit with Chris Evans, and so the line was actually on the other side of the curtain. And so I'm, like, standing there, it's about to be my turn, and this dude who's, like, I don't know if he was, like, the bouncer or whatever, but some dude, he was cool, was like, hey, what's up? What you want to do? Like, I like your shirt. I had a shirt on that had Chris Evans' face, like, all over it. And so I'm literally just standing there, like, shooting the shit with this guy. And then he's like, okay, your turn. And he, like, lets this curtain go, and just bam, right there, Chris Evans, his face, his flawless skin, his hair, his eyes that were just so blue. Like, literally, it's like he was not there one second and he was there the next. And I just don't even know what happened. Like, I'm quite sure that my soul left my body. Very sure. Luckily, though, I had enough wits about me to, like, ask him before I touched him. Because I don't care who he is. I ain't about to touch nobody without their consent, right? And so I was, like, so taken aback because, bam, he was just right there. And, again, still had the wits about me to be like, is it okay if I hold your hand? Because I knew I wanted to hold his hand. Because the first time I had met Chris Evans, I didn't say nothing. And I just posed however they told me to pose. And this time, I was like, nope. I'm about to ask him if this is okay. And luckily, do y'all know what he said? So I said, is it okay if I hold your hand? And he looked at me and he was like, yeah. What else do you want to do? And in my mind, I'm like, sir, you do not want me to answer that question, because I don't know if you're ready for what is about to come out of my mouth in response to that question. So anyways, I was like, this is fine. And then he told me that he liked my shirt. And then I'm quite sure that if my soul was not already escaped from my human suit, it absolutely was at that point. Because I don't even know. And so all of that happened in a span of maybe like 30 seconds, not even. It had to be even quicker than that. Absolutely amazing. When I think about the photo that we took, I remember I sent it to my mom, and she was like, well, what do you think? I was like, well, he looks perfect, obviously. I look like a goof. And I think it was just by comparison. Like, he just looks so pristine. Whatever. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So that was my first fangirl experience at Emerald City Comic Con. The second was with none other than Rebecca Yarros, best-selling author of the Empyrean series, Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. Forthcoming episodes on both of those amazing, amazing books, right? And so I remember when I was preparing to come to Emerald City, and it was like maybe 2 weeks before. It had to be very close. And I found out that Rebecca Yarros was going to be there, and I lost my shit, right? I remember I texted my sister. I was like, oh my gosh. I was so excited. So excited. And what I'm thankful for about the way they're sort of that Emerald City handled sort of her being there is that nothing cost extra money, right? So I was able to get a ticket to get her to sign my books absolutely free of charge. Like, I mean, you had to like make sure you got one, but it was free of charge. She also did a panel on like a spotlight panel free of charge. I mean, we had to stand in line. We stood in line, me and my bro Victor, we stood in line maybe for like 45 minutes to an hour, and we were still like in the back row, but we was in there. And I got to ask her a question. It was so great. Nonetheless, being able to interact with her, and again, this is forthcoming in the episode that I do about Fourth Wing. But she is just an amazing human being. Just an amazing, amazing human being. And I don't know why I was surprised, because those books are amazing. But to be able to be like in fellowship with her, albeit very briefly, right? It was just so, so, so amazing, right? So shout out to Rebecca Yarles. And then lastly, if you know me, you know when I go to a fan convention, I'm going to find Supernatural people. I'm going to find them because we are everywhere. And so at this convention, Misha Collins was actually one of the premier guests, as well as Bobby. Jim Beaver is his government name. Bobby from Supernatural, as well as the actor who played Kane, Timothy Amundsen, I think is how you pronounce his last name. And so the last day of the con, that was my goal. Like, I got to go see my Supernatural peeps. And I just love being in fellowship with other Supernatural fans, because again, like, this fandom is legit. It's intense. And so that was an amazing way to sort of round out this weekend that was, again, some parts stressful, because I think anytime that I'm preparing a panel and, you know, getting ready to speak and do and be me in front of folks, there's always an air of, is this going to be great? Like, I'm a perfectionist, whatever. Like, I want it to be awesome. I want people to feel welcomed. I want people to feel included. So there was some stress there. There's also always stress when I got to be away from home and be spending all this money on food and stuff. And all of that, I think, is counterbalanced by the amount of joy that I get not only from being in those spaces, but from being able to fellowship with people that I care about, and really just to be able to love something so unapologetically and unabashedly with other people. Absolutely amazing. So a couple experiences that I mentioned really sparked some things that I've been thinking about since Emerald City Comic Con, right? And I'm going to reference a text written by two phenomenal human beings, Dr. Kayla Joseph, Dr. Tanya Cook, called Fandom Acts of Kindness. And because there were some things that I witnessed, that I experienced, that I thought about in the sort of fan interactions that I saw at Emerald City Comic Con that really got me thinking. And one of those is related to this concept of parasocial relationships. And so, again, quoting Fandom Acts of Kindness, parasocial relationships are the, quote, affiliations that we have with celebrities and other creatives who are involved in the making of the thing you fan over, end quote. What sort of triggered this for me in thinking about this was the interactions that I witnessed, that I heard about, that I was privy to in terms of how people were engaging with Chris Evans in particular, right? And so you heard me, I said Chris Evans, AKA America's Ass. We remember that, you know, that is a very popular scene from the MCU, something that we laugh about, cool. So people that were taking pictures with him were like asking to touch his butt, or were putting their butts near his butt, or whatever, right? People asking for kisses, right? Or people wanting to kiss him, or people touching him without asking, right? Like, just things like that. And I was thinking about that, right? Because as I mentioned, and as I sort of recounted my own experience, it was very important for me to ask permission. I don't know if that's just a Vanessa thing. I don't know if that's a Vanessa as a woman thing. I don't know if whatever, right? But I'm like, I don't know this man, no matter how close I feel to him because of this, you know, proximity I feel because I love him as an actor or whatever. I don't feel like it's okay for me to just touch him without asking. I also don't feel like it's okay for me to ask him to touch me in some kind of intimate way, right? And so this idea of parasocial relationships, and I think about it like this, how do we manage our expectations of something and someone we love so much that doesn't have the capacity to love us back, right? And it was just something that I was thinking about because this sense of entitlement, maybe is not the right word, and I can't think of a different word, but this sense of I paid for this picture, so he should do this, or, you know, this is the only time I'll ever meet him, so he should do this. Like, it's just, it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me, and I think this concept of parasocial relationships can help to really shed some light on why that is, right? And I'm not saying any of this in a judgmental way, like people shouldn't be doing this or people shouldn't be doing that. Like, everybody has their own boundaries. And I think that it's important to understand these sort of underlying dynamics in terms of why we feel so, again, entitled is not the right word, but I can't think of another word, why we feel so connected to somebody that we never, ever met. Like, I mean, I met him once for 30 seconds, but that don't mean I know him, right? You know what I'm saying? He has been on my television for, I don't know, however many years, right? And so this concept of parasocial relationships, again, I think can really help to shed some light on that. Similarly, in Fandom Acts of Kindness, Kayla and Tanya go on to talk about dark sides of fandom, right? And I have mentioned this sort of briefly in different conversations that I've had, particularly around my own experiences sort of coming into the supernatural fandom and then coming into fandom spaces generally. But one of the things that they talk about with regard to the dark sides of fandom is what they refer to as oppressive norms. And so norms are the social rules that fans follow and enforce with each other, right? And so we might have a norm that, you know, we don't ask celebrities about this thing, right? Or we don't mention this thing because they've said it's upsetting, like whatever, right? So norms, again, social rules that we sort of all agree upon and we enforce. Sometimes, though, these norms can be oppressive. And the way that we challenge or address those norms is by asking questions. And so for me, I don't necessarily know that I would use the word oppressive because I have a different relationship with that word. But for me, like this idea that it would be normal or normative to ask Chris Evans to kiss you or to ask Chris Evans to touch your butt or to ask Chris Evans to do whatever, right? Like, those norms seem violating almost, right? Like, he's still a whole human being. He's still a whole person, right? And a person with agency who should be able to say, no, I don't want to do that or whatever. And I understand the context and I understand the situation that he is in, right? To, like, if he says this, is it going to be on TikTok? Is it going to be, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that those, it's just, I've been thinking about this a lot since then because it's something that I feel like not only happened with Chris Evans, but also with Rebecca Yarros. So after Rebecca Yarros did her spotlight panel, like, the room was emptying and the moderator asked that anybody who is in Fourth Wing cosplay, like, come up to the front, like, we want to take a group photo. Cool. So that happened and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I'm just sort of like lingering in the back because, again, I'm a fangirl and I'm like, I want to be in the same room she's in for as long as I can, right? And so after this, though, like, people are like, Rebecca and her team, they're kind of like, okay, we got to go on to the next thing. And there's so many people like around her that are like trying, like, holding up their phones and like taking selfies. And she's like handing out, she had these like stickers with her autograph on it. And she was literally just handing them out. All the while, she's like, okay, I gotta go. And people are kind of just like, oh, a selfie, and like going up and talk to her, like, you know what I'm saying? And I remember standing back, like, I was sort of standing back away from this, like rows back, because I have thought about going up there and trying to get my own selfie, right? And then I sort of paused and I like sort of surveyed this situation and I'm like, you know, it doesn't seem like that's what she's trying to do, right? Like, she's trying to go and get on to her next thing. She also made a statement during her panel that, you know, this is like, has been a whirlwind for her, right? This sort of rise, meteoric rise to fame and all of these things, and how it can be exhausting, right? And again, this sort of lack of privacy. And so it was so interesting that she had talked about that. And then it's kind of like, I almost saw it manifesting before my very eyes. And again, I am not demeaning folks that were, you know, up there trying to get a picture. I'm not demeaning people that, you know, ask these things. What I am inviting is consideration of how we humanize people who have celebrity status, right? Can we still love them and treat them like people? And I think that in this sort of industry, not, and you know, in fandom spaces, everything is commodified. So like, pictures that you take with Chris Evans and all the autographs that he signs and all of these things are commodified, right? Like, they are going to, these shows are going to work these people to the bone because this is a business, right? And that was another thing that I was thinking about, right? Like, when I met Chris Evans last year at C2E2, that man literally was standing taking pictures for like 5 hours. Like, it had to be like 5 hours. And, you know, maybe that's normal to him. Maybe those are Hollywood hours, whatever. And I can't help but think of what that experience is like as a human being, to have to be on for all that time, right? And there's this expectation that we're paying you, so you're going to do this thing. Again, this sort of commodification of fame, commodification of his celebrity status, right? And again, I'm not saying it's good, bad, or otherwise, just making an observation. And similarly, like with Rebecca Yarros, can we love her and also allow her space to be human? Like, allow her space to take a break, allow her space to go when she says she's ready to go, right? How do we like moderate our own sort of fangirl, fanboy, fan person? How do we moderate that, still have love, and also humanize? Because I think sometimes people with celebrity are dehumanized, one, because we see them as larger than life, they're idolized, they have money. And typically in our capitalistic society, if you have money, it's like, well, you don't need nothing because you got money, right? And so it's just something that I have absolutely been thinking about and even sort of reflecting on since this experience. And the last thing I'll sort of say with regard to sort of this idea of the dark sides of fandom is this concept of othering that Tanya and Kayla talk about in reference to marginalization, right? So in Fandom Acts of Kindness, they talk about being a marginalized person in fan spaces, and because of what it's like to be a marginalized person in the world writ large, oftentimes when you enter fan spaces with your marginalized identity due to minority stress, due to all of these things, everybody else is seen as an enemy, right? So instead of joining with people in fan spaces, you sort of create barriers, you erect barriers, because it's like, I don't know these people, you know what I'm saying? And I can speak from experience, right? And I'll use Rebecca Yarros again as an example. So first at the book signing, right? I looked around to see if there were first any other Black people, right? Any other Black people in line? Because for me, again, and I talked about this, I think episode one and episode two of this podcast, like, coming into fan spaces, these tend to be predominantly white spaces, particularly fan conventions, right? Anything that is for Black people or for a specific group of people, it is othered. It is in it, like, there's a panel for this Black thing, or there's a panel for this trans thing, or there's a panel for, you know what I'm saying? It's not infused like it is for people in the dominant culture. And so when I am in these spaces, I'm always sort of vigilant about seeing other Black people or whatever, right? And so when I was standing in line for Rebecca Yarros, and forgive me if you was in line and I didn't see you, but I ain't see nobody, right? There were other people of color. Nobody that, to mine eye, very outwardly appeared as Black, right? Similarly, in the spotlight panel that me and my bro went to, right? Like, I looked around and I was like, huh, you know? And it's not good, bad, or otherwise. It is just something that is notable. And I think that it demonstrates this idea of othering, because for me, to look around and not see anyone else that looks like me is terrifying. And so immediately, because I understand and based on my own experiences of being the only Black person in academic spaces or the only Black person in whatever spaces, right? Traditionally, in historically for me, that is dangerous, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's dangerous in this fan space. Because again, we are all in here because we love this thing. We're all in here because we love Rebecca Yarros. Like, we're all in here because of whatever. And still, my mind interprets this as threatening. And that is what I think for Drs. Joseph and Cook, they're talking about with othering, right? So this whole sort of Emerald City Comic Con experience, I really had to think about that in terms of, because again, I think, I don't know if it was just the location or whatever, it was definitely, I mean, there were Black people there, like there were Black people at the convention, and I felt very othered in the space. That's nobody's fault. I want to reiterate, I'm not blaming anyone, just making an observation. And so when I was preparing to do this rewind segment and to talk about it, again, shout out to Tanya and Kayla for sort of giving voice to this in the book. I never really thought of it like that, about how, because I am so firmly rooted in self-preservation as a Black woman in a predominantly white space, that I may be preemptively erecting barriers to connecting with other people. And I would say, even again, just to go back to talking about Rebecca Yarros, like, my younger sister, you heard me talk about it the first con rewind, right? Like, my younger sister, also a biracial Black woman, is the one who introduced me to Fourth Wing. I was like, what is that? And now I can't imagine it like not being in my life, right? And so even then, though, like, I don't talk to other people about it necessarily, because I am nervous that they will see it as like a white thing. Right. And I'm giving voice to that, not in any sort of judgment or deprecating way, in a very honest way. Right. Like, it's the same way I feel about Supernatural. Like, I get so geeked about Supernatural, and I'm also very mindful that for a lot of people, Supernatural is a very white show. And sometimes that thinking prohibits me from engaging the way I want to, because I'm so worried about being othered. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't say this in any way to judge myself or to judge anybody else. It's just something my hope is that this is normalizing, for lack of a better word. I don't like that language, but I can't think of anything else. My hope is that this conversation, this concept, helps anybody who feels like they're not allowed to like a thing, or that they don't belong in a space, that yes, you do. Yes, you do. And understanding that feeling of, these aren't my people, sometimes it may show people. And I'm not saying that, like, everybody is, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you should just go into any space, particularly if you feel unsafe. What I am saying, though, and again, the way it was articulated in the book, Phantom Acts of Kindness, is that sometimes we are so worried about taking care of ourselves and protecting ourselves, that overshadows any potential for building community and relationships. And I am so thankful that I was able to push past those things. Cause like, this whole Rebecca Yarros, like, I wasn't even gonna go. Like, I was not gonna go. I was like, nah, it's about to be wild up in there. It's about to be a whole bunch of like, whatever. I'm not trying to go up in there. I pushed past that though, right? The first time I went to a Supernatural convention, I was like, I don't know if I want to be in that space. So thankful and so happy that I did. And so coming away from this first experience of Emerald City Comic Con, first and foremost, shout out to Seattle. I definitely want to go back when it is not cold and not rainy. When is that? I don't know. One of my Uber drivers was like, you definitely need to come back in the summertime. And then he also told me that nobody has air conditioning. And I was like, well, why would I come back in the summertime if anybody got air conditioning? So I don't even know what was going on there. But I absolutely want to come back in a time that the weather, perchance, is different. Next time I come back to Seattle, I want to go to the ocean in real life. You know what I'm saying? And not just look at it. But overall, I think Emerald City is definitely going to be in my con rotation. The people that I interacted with, absolutely amazing. The opportunities to engage with folks, again, just it's so rejuvenating. It just gives me life. It just gives me life to be able to talk to folks and, again, to be able to create connections that I otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to. And so thank you, thank you, thank you, Emerald City. Thank you, Repop. Thank you to everyone who made that weekend. If you engage with me in any way, shape, or form, you help make that weekend. And to my soul husband, Chris Evans, thank you for letting me hold your hand. To Rebecca Yaros, just thank you for being you. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming into that space and for being so authentically you. And again, y'all, if you are a fan of Rebecca Yaros and her work, stay tuned, because that whole critical analysis of the Empyrean series is on the way. So until next time, friends, I wish you and your families safety, health, and joy. Be well, beautiful people.